broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios. This is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
We'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB throughout the championship meet. The Gulfstream Park Championship Meet runs now through the early April Florida Derby weekend, featuring high-quality racing throughout. Once again, we'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. As is often the case on mornings like this, I say it's not just racing across America, it's racing around the world. We will have some Dubai racing coming during the program. We'll have the next race coming up. Will be post time at 10:25. So we're about 20 minutes away from the Golden Shaheen, the Dubai Turf still coming up, the Shima Classic, and at 12:35 today, the Dubai World Cup itself. We'll talk some of those races in just a moment. A little bit later on, though, we'll also be talking some fairgrounds with the Louisiana Derby and a nice full slate of stakes races as well. And we'll talk to Scott Shapiro about the fairgrounds races. He's going to be part of the team down there today with John Dooley and Joe Kristofek and Kevin Kilroy. So we'll get some thoughts on fairgrounds from Scott a little bit later on. But as is often the case when we talk international races, I thought we'd reach out to our friend Dick Powell, who clearly pays a lot of strict attention to international racing. And there is no more prominent international day this time of year than Dubai World Cup Day. So again, I thought we'd reach out to Dick. Dick, good morning.
Seth, what does the World Baseball Classic and thoroughbred racing have in common?
I don't know.
Dominated by Japan.
You know, I was about to say Japan versus yeah. And, you know, I had you on a few weeks ago, Saudi Cup, and we mentioned how dominant Japan has been over the past couple of years in these international events. And it looks like more today. And we just had a Japanese runner win the UAE Derby.
Not only win it, but they ran 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, and, I didn't realize they had the first. I knew they had the exact. It was the top. Wow. Wow.
Yes. Yes. And they, the winner will be going to the Kentucky Derby. I'm not sure about the runner-up. The better horse is probably the third horse, Continuar. I don't know if third gets him enough points, but they definitely want to come. And just since a couple of Breeders' Cups in a row, Saudi Cups the last 2 years, the undercard, dirt, turf, short, long, they just get it done.
That a Japanese runner in the Kentucky Derby will be very interesting because that'll open up the pool over there in Japan. And I would have to think they will pound the windows. So the odds in the pools will be very interesting on the Kentucky Derby with the Japanese runner.
Yes, yes. Very good point. Very good point. And you can imagine the media requests.
Yes.
With the Japanese horse in the race. Wow.
Well, let's jump into it because we do have coming up next, and we'll go through the four races remaining today before they send off the Golden Shaheen. So as I say, we have 17 minutes or so before this next one goes off. And up next is the Golden Shaheen, 6 furlongs. We have some American runners in here. Sibelius comes in. You don't often see the Tampa Bay Downs to Dubai trip, but Sibelius comes in off a win in a Tampa stake last time. Super Ocho was in a stakes race at Gulfstream last time. Baffert brings in Hopkins. CZ Rocket, 9 years old, a talented sprinting veteran. I like Gunite. Gunite's the number two in here. Don't forget, folks, the saddlecloth numbers do not match up with post positions necessarily. Gunite will be on the outside, but ran second on the trip to Saudi last time after a early season win at Oaklawn prior. I like Gunite. I was a little bit surprised that the Gunite, I'm looking here, 7-1 currently on the odds. I was a little bit surprised, and then I looked. The favorite is the number 5, Lemon Pop, and I went and looked. It's a Godolphin runner, but a Godolphin runner based in Japan, so I would have to think the Japan side of things is attracting some of that attention. Dick, while we talk, I pulled up a a replay of Switzerland winning last time in Dubai. This is going back to January 6th. Switzerland's going to close on the outside here, black silks with some yellow stripes. This was a nice performance, you would think, in prep for this. So Switzerland attracts my attention. Gunite also attracts my attention. Lemon Pop, the Japanese horse, is the favorite. What are your thoughts on the Golden Shaheen?
Now, these races are part of what's called the Whirlpool. And the Whirlpool is being hosted by Hong Kong. And there's various bet types that'll be commingled. So your point was very good with the Japanese runner, number five, Lemon Pop. Because much of the pool is coming out of Hong Kong. So it might be tilted towards Asian runners. And we do have a couple of Hong Kong horses in the Shima Classic. Lemon Pop looks very, very good. Won four out of the last five, won a group one, going a mile. Now he turns back to six. I don't know how well that's going to work. Gunite, and he got beat by Elite Power, but Elite Power is in this role where since he broke his maiden at his fourth start, Elite Power has not only been winning, but just crushing opposition. So I think running second to Elite Power. The question is, does he move forward off this race? Does have post 13. Now, normally, I would say don't worry about the wide draw because the kickback in Dubai is severe. What you do not want to be is in behind the horses and get that dirt in your face, and it can really, really affect the horse. So being outside, lose ground, not good. Not get the kickback, okay. Clear trip, okay. And he does have enough speed to be somewhat near the front. So Tyler Gaffney-Owen, who won the Godolphin Mile tonight already, gets aboard number two, Gunite. So I'm going to go 2, 5, Lemon Pop, and number 11, Sound Money, who was right now locally trained with Bhupat Samir, who's been the leading trainer throughout the Dubai winter racing. And just those horses, I've already won two races tonight. But if you look at his company lines, he was second to Cody's Wish, second to Jackie's Warrior. And his last start in Dubai, he beat Isolate, who came back and won the Godolphin Mile. So I'm going to go 2, 5, and 11 in the Golden Sheen.
I like it. All right, let's move on. Race number 7 on the card today in Dubai is going to be the Dubai Turf. Again, another nice field, and there's some familiar names in here. Order of Australia, who has raced in America, Keeneland Turf Mile a couple of years ago, wound up well beaten there. Turf Mile at Keeneland last year, wound up third, then sixth in the Breeders' Cup Mile. Won a race in Qatar last time out under Ryan Moore. It's an Aidan O'Brien runner, so Order of Australia, as I say, kind of familiar, been over here. Intriguing, Roger Atfield is kind of being a world traveler with Cheryl's Spite. That one's interesting. Dan and Beluga goes out for Japan, so one of the Japanese runners. Also in here, and I'm going to be intrigued to see what the odds are, the morning line on Nation's Pride is 7-1. But another one we're familiar with, having won the Saratoga Derby and the Jockey Club Derby last year at Belmont and won a race in Dubai in prep for this. I pulled up, however, I pulled up the Kyoto Kinnan from Japan February 12th, and we're going to watch Do Deuce get the victory here. And again, a Japanese runner's just doing so well, and this one coming in off of this victory. They were ambitious enough to try the arc with this one. Didn't fare well, but did try the arc in October. Boy, this is a fun field in here. What did you see in the Dubai Turf?
Well, Do Deuce and number 13, Shalir, have been scratched.
Oh, okay. Ah, interesting. All right.
I got that off the Hong Kong website. And also, if you're like me and you know your way around the Hong Kong website, you can get all the odds for all the races as we speak. So in this race, you were right. Nation's Pride is right around 7-1. Charlie Appleby, William Buick, good race in the Dubai Millennium last time out. Was a winner going a mile and a quarter. Now he turns back to a mile and an eighth. And also, Seth, this is a one-turn mile and an eighth. They start in the backstretch. They just go straight into the to the one turn. Post position still important because if you get a slow pace and you draw wide, you're just going to be out there and you're never going to get over. Nation's Pride drew post 16. So he's William Buick's going to have to make some decisions. Does he go? Does he drop back and try to save some ground? But I think he fits with these very well. I like number two, Danon Beluga, who is the favorite as we speak in the betting. Joe Moreira rides this one third behind Equinox back in October. Equinox is horse of the year. We'll see him in the next race. Right behind Pantalasso, who came back and won the Saudi Cup on dirt. So he's had good company lines, good, solid, experienced horse by Heart's Cry. Heart's Cry once won the Shima Classic many years ago, so lots of good connections here, and a Japanese horse. So I like the two, Danon Beluga. The nine's going to have to overcome that wide draw. And I like the 16, Van de Garde, who's 30-1 with Mikhail Barcelona. Ran well in the Dubai Turf last year, missed the nose. His next race ran poorly, but that was, you know, that was the end of the season in June. They brought him back in February, but they brought him back on dirt in the Saudi Cup. Now he gets on the right surface, and he has enough back class to maybe sneak into this at a price. So we'll go 2-9-16 in the Dubai Turf.
Yeah, Danon Beluga was 15-1 on the morning line. You're saying now he's the early odds you're looking at have him favored?
Yeah, let me double check that. I'll give you the exact updated as we speak odds. Yes. Yeah. He's going to pay $6.80 to win.
Interesting.
So just over 2-1.
And again, the Japan angle at work yet again. All right, let's move on to the Shima Classic, mile and a half on the grass. Again, another fun field, fun race. Zagre, the number nine horse, I will mention, ran second last time to Nation's Pride. So that's one of those, I call them barometer horses. If Nation's Pride runs well, maybe you move up in this race the number nine a little bit off the second place finish to him last time. Rebel's Romance is the winner from last year's Breeders' Cup Turf. Hasn't been seen since then, but Charles Appleby brings him back here. Mostadaf is a John Gosden runner coming in off a win over foreign winner, and I'm just looking down the
people. Saudi.
Yeah, in Saudi, and I'm just, yeah, so comes in off a nice win there. But I pulled up a replay of the horse you mentioned, Equinox, Japanese runner, pulled up the Arima Kinnan Grand Prix from last time. Going to be a winner here by over two lengths. Only six starts, so stepping it up here, being lightly raced, but four wins in a couple of seconds. But again, it's a Japanese runner, so certainly going to take a lot of action. Your thoughts in the Shima Classic?
Well, Equinox is the odds-on favorite for this race. All the reports are he's just trained brilliantly. He's coming off two Group 1s, but not only Group 1s, but he won the Arima Kinnan on Christmas Eve. And that's probably the biggest race in Japan. The fans get to pick who races. I mean, it's just a humongous race. And he won that rather handily. In fact, he's won his last two rather handily. He gets Christophe Lemaire, you know, who just does sensational in these races. And he'll get him in the right position, and I just think he's just too tough for this group. I didn't think this race came up that strong. So that said, I like Equinox number 7, and I like number 10, Win Maryland, who's 17-1 in the betting. Nice win in Hong Kong back in December. Has some other good company lines when in Japan. When he was behind Title Holder, and also he was right behind Pantalasa three races back in August. So I think he has sneaky good form. And I think he can beat the rest, but I don't think anybody's beating Equinox.
What are your thoughts on the Breeders' Cup Turf winner, Rebel's Romance?
I liked him that day. I guess he's good. You know, nothing not to like. He kind of winds up and makes that 3/8 of a mile run. But this is more of a galloper's race. It's a mile and a half once around. And they get into a pace. And the only one I would be a little worried about that I didn't mention is number two, Mostadadov. A Shadwell horse, John and Fatty Gosden, does have pace. Looked great in Saudi, dominated when he took the lead, but pressed the pace, took the lead, drew off one-handedly. And we've seen the Gosdens pull off these upsets, shipping in and winning with European horses. So, and he's 27-1 as we speak. So if you're looking for a bomb, it might be the two. But the bomb I'm going to use is the 10, Wynn Maryland.
All right. Nice full field coming up in the Dubai World Cup. And again, that'll go off our time at about 12:35, mile and a quarter of the trip. $12 million up for grabs. Crown Pride is in here. And, you know, we talked about the winner of the UA Derby maybe showing up in the Kentucky Derby. Well, this horse won the UA Derby last year, wound up 13th when coming over to try the Kentucky Derby, but a Japanese runner, and so intriguing from that aspect. I pulled up a replay of the Saudi Cup because we have the Japanese runner that we've already mentioned, Panthalassa, but a big closing kick to just come up a little bit short from Country Grammar. And it's notable, Country Grammar last year, second in the Saudi Cup, and then won the Dubai World Cup. And so Country Grammar also in here this afternoon, along with the winner we're looking at here, Panthalassa. They run 1-2 in this Saudi Cup we're looking at. We'll see what they do this afternoon. But we mentioned it on the Handicappers Report earlier. Country Grammar may be one of the most underrated $14 million winners of all time. And he adds this to the, you know, the purse. It'll get up to $20 million in being a horse that maybe isn't considered in that kind of a category. But what are your thoughts in the Dubai World Cup?
Well, Marcus Hirsch in the Racing Form wrote that if Country Grammar wins, he's the leading money earner in thoroughbred history. Now, my head immediately goes to Winx. But Winx's money is Australian dollars, and I think that $26 million is less than the $22 million that Country Grammar would have with a win. So I think Marcus is right. He's just, he likes the mile and a quarter. He doesn't really accelerate. He's more of a grinder, but then he can just keep coming and coming and coming. I think he has a big shot today with Frankie. Draws post 14, but once again, being outside, avoiding the kickback, not the worst position to be in. Algiers, the one horse, just dominated the two prep races for this. Did it fast, handily. They skipped the third round in the Maktoum Challenge to have him fresh for this, and it looks like he's fresh, but he drew post 13. Cafe Pharaoh might be the leaders of the Japanese contingent. Was third in the Saudi Cup, but once again, kind of ran one pace in that race, but maybe that's just the way the Saudi dirt track plays. I don't know. Country Grammar, a horse I would not throw out and I'm definitely going to use in exotics is Emblem Road, who won last year's Saudi Cup. Now, they tried to make a turf horse out of him. They took him to France. He caught soft going in his only French start, didn't do much, came back to Saudi, won an easy prep for the Saudi Cup, and then in the Saudi Cup just walked out of the starting gate. I mean, he spotted the field 10 lengths. He rallied, beaten four lengths, not a bad race at a distance shorter than he wants. Today he gets the mile and a quarter. Two races under his belt this year. He should be fit. Maybe he can sneak in the money. So I am going to box. I hate to use the word box, but I'm going to box 1-3-4-6 in my trifecta.
1-3-4-6?
Yes.
Very good.
And the key is obviously to get the six into the money, obviously, but the higher into the money, the better off. Country Grammar does look good. I'm just a little worried at his age. Can he show any more improvement? So you kind of look for a horse with an upside, and the horse with the upside might be the three. So if I was going to bet a win bet, it'll be the three, who right now is about 8-1.
I like it. All right, they're loading in, Dick, for the Golden Shaheen. We really appreciate your thoughts. Good luck this afternoon. We'll talk again.
All right, Seth. Take care.
Appreciate it. Dick Powell, again, always like to pick Dick's brain on the international races. Dick and this Golden Shaheen had a 2-5-11, and they're off.
And Tuz moves up alongside in second. Hopkins goes with them, then Sibelius down toward the inside as they race for the turn. They're being followed by Sound Money, who's just outside of horses and racing 3.5 lengths off the lead. In between horses, Justin is there. Super Ocho starting to lose position. Mohib is going up on the outside. Switzerland in mid-pack after a good beginning. And then comes CZ Rocket, Remake, and Roadblock, and Red Lazelle at the back of the pack. Hopkins up top as they make their way around the far turn. Sound Money and Gunite are right up alongside. The three of them across the track. Tuz is next. Sibelius cuts the corner in fourth, and they're into the stretch. It's Hopkins and Gunite on the outside. The American horses 1-2. These two come into the final furlong together. Sound Money between those two. Running in third, Sibelius trying to run up the rail. Switzerland is putting in his run on the outside. It is Hopkins in front. On the outside comes Gunite. Here comes Switzerland. Sibelius down toward the rail. They're coming down to the finish. And it is very close. Oh, was it Switzerland or Sibelius? Did Switzerland do it again? Did Sibelius get there? They were noses apart on the wire.
It is desperate between 10 Sibelius and 13 Switzerland, the defending champion. Has he held on to his crown? Or is another race going in the Golden Shaheen to America? Stand by for the verdict. It was a wonderful finish. Sibelius getting a run through against the rail and Switzerland flying down the outside. We are going to hold tight. Sibelius in front. Switzerland getting there with every moment. Oh, Ruby?
I'm not a commentator, Rishi, so I'm going to sit on the fence. I thought live Sibelius had hung on.
I think he's won it.
Yeah, I thought live that's what had won. Ryan Moore, stall one, didn't break great for him, had to ride him hard down the inside, had to snatch up at the bend out of the back stretch, and then got the run down Frankie Dettori's inside that ultimately is going to be the win in the race if he's won it.
Incredible race once again. The pace just started to collapse in the last 50 yards, Angus.
Yeah, the closers came calling, the best of which is Switzerland. Stall 1 and 2 involved in this photo finish.
Let's head out to Nick.
Well, we await the results of the photo officially, Rishi, but we think it's Sibelius who's held on in those lime green and purple colours.
It looked like Sibelius on the rail over Switzerland. Switzerland, the reigning champion, came out of that win earlier this year in Dubai in prep for this, won this race last year, and actually had been off since that until the January race. Just incredible. But I said it earlier, you don't often see the Tampa to Dubai trip on Dubai World Cup Day, much less the win. Sibelius coming out of a win in the Pelican at Tampa to score here under Ryan Moore. And I'm just waiting. I'm not seeing any numbers or anything, and they're interviewing Sibelius's owner, so I'm assuming that, and it looked like it with the slow-mo. So Sibelius went off at 8-1, and again, Tampa to a win in a Group 1 in Dubai. Very good. Jeremiah O'Dwyer trains. Ryan Moore was on board today. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll shift our attention over here stateside. The big day coming up a little bit later on at Fairgrounds with the Louisiana Derby and many, many more stakes on their card, many, many more races. We'll talk with Scott Shapiro about the Fairgrounds card right after this. Stay tuned.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
This is a championship meet. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them.
We back.
You get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
Yeah.
To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
A lot of good horses come out of here. And if you want to go to the next level, Gulfstream Park was the place to come.
I remember the first time I came to Gulfstream. It was like this big fairy tale place. All the history. And all these great horses, trainers, jockeys. It was everything I ever dreamed of.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on a big Saturday morning. Again, we've been watching some of the Dubai action throughout the morning. Dubai World Cup comes up at 12:35, and will be underway also at that time. Fairgrounds, as they'll kick off their 15-race card and then roll into the Louisiana Derby and a lot of other great stakes action. And I thought, hey, let's check in with Scott Shapiro, who'll be part of the team down at the fairgrounds today, along with Joe Christofek, Kevin Kilroy, John Dooley, and others. Scott, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Great to join you again. Super exciting day here. A marathon extravaganza starting soon, as you said. 15 races, of course, headlined by the TwinSpires.com Louisiana Derby, which should give us a little more answers on the road to the Derby, which is hard to believe so close.
Yeah, and, you know, we were talking about it this morning. The Mile and 316th on the handicapping show earlier, my colleague Anthony Mormino and I were talking, and I like the Mile and a 16th because every year, first Saturday in May, one of the big questions is who's going to get the mile and a quarter. But if you've gotten the mile and a 316th, you're pretty much the way there. So I think horses coming out of Louisiana have a less of a question mark going into the Derby.
No, absolutely, without question, Seth. Combine that mile and 316th with the long stretch at Fairgrounds, and I definitely agree that it is the truest test we'll see from these three-year-olds as they head into the first Saturday in May. Kind of a separator, and I think, you know, combined with the million-dollar purse, that's why we've seen this race get so much more productive over the last few years.
Yeah, and the trail already at Fairgrounds has been kind of productive. Coming out of the LeCompte, running third was Confidence Game. He goes up to Oaklawn and wins the Rebel. So this Fairgrounds trail so far has been very productive, and you would think it will do so again this afternoon with the Kentucky Derby now a month or so, a little bit more than a month away. Let's just start out. Oh, before I get to the actual races, can you give us an update? What's your weather look like this afternoon?
It looks like we're going to be okay. I think I saw a chance of thunderstorms maybe late afternoon, and then it's supposed to rain quite a bit, I think, overnight and into tomorrow. But I'm crossing our fingers. Storms can kind of pop up here like many other places where it gets warm. But I think we should be pretty safe. I mean, a little rain might not hurt all that much, but I think we're safe here for a off-track, knock on wood.
Sounds good. We'll keep our fingers crossed as well. Let's kick things off and kind of work our way back, look at some of the stakes, starting with the Louisiana Derby. Three-year-olds, obviously, going for the, as you say, aforementioned, $1 million, grade two event, Kentucky Derby points on the line, a mile and 3/16. I said on the handicapping show earlier, I'm taking a little bit of a roll of the dice with Sun Thunder. I was in here doing our afternoon show on the day he broke the maiden at Oaklawn, and I said, you know what, I think Kenny McPeak may have a budding three-year-old here. Subsequently disappointed me a little bit in the Southwest, but I thought a nice second last time to Angel of Empire. That one headed to the Arkansas Derby, but a good second in the Risen Star. So I'm finding Sun Thunder kind of interesting, but I had to pull up and take a look at the LeCompte. We mentioned that already. It's Instant Coffee, Al Gold, and Brad Cox. This win will be only the fourth career start, but the second stakes win of the career in the LeCompte. As we look at the stretch run, Instant Coffee will be the number seven. The number eight will be Two Fills. So you get an idea on the nice Instant Coffee performance earlier, as I say, on what has been a productive trail. And again, running third is Confidence Game, who subsequently went on to win the Rebel. So Instant Coffee will take the action. I don't have any arguments, but I'm Sun Thunder. I thought a little Dennington was interesting. Maybe Kings Barnes, because it is Todd Pletcher with a two-for-two runner. What are your thoughts on the Louisiana Derby?
Well, I agree. Instant Coffee, hard to knock. 3-for-4, the lone loss coming in that very productive Breeders' Futurity won by Forte back last year at Keeneland. But the question, I think, with Instant Coffee is not that he didn't take a big step forward in that aforementioned LeCompte set. I think he ran a much better race, showed a much better turn of foot than he had in his two-year-old campaigns, where I thought he was a little bit grindy more than anything. The question is, can Louis Saez work out a trip here? A lot of the Kentucky Derby prep races so far, including the LeCompte, have seen contentious early paces and horses like Sun Thunder and Instant Coffee, amongst others, taking advantage of those contentious paces. Now, I think we're running for $1 million, a full field, gone a mile 3/16. So it'll be a little more aggressiveness out of the gate than it might look on paper. But still, just not the amount of speed I signed on to some of these other preps. So I'm going to look for horses that I think are going to be able to sit maybe in that second flight, if not up in that first flight. And one of them is number 7, Cagliostro, who I don't think we're going to get the morning line price on. But this has been a Florida-bred son of upstart that I followed from the beginning. Took a lot of money on debut at Saratoga against Champion's Dream. Stalked early and tired late. They gave him some time off, they being Cherie DeVoe and her team. Came back. Everything went wrong on January 21st in the maiden-breaking performance. Got out of the gate slow, was wide, was green, and still won for absolute fun. And then comes back with a much more professional effort in the first level allowance event, won by Dennington, who's also in here. Was much closer up to the pace than Dennington. It was a little bit of a battle towards the front end, and Dennington took advantage. But I was most impressed with Cagliostro's ability to relax on the inside and show newfound tactical speed that he hadn't showed getting out of the gate in that previous start. I'm hoping Christian Torres gets this one into the race. Like I said, sits that second tier and can get this one home. I have the same thoughts kind of with number 5, Disarm, who I think has to show his best still. But this is a gunrunner colt for Steve Asmussen and Winchell Thoroughbreds that I've always been high on. He ran a huge race at Saratoga to break the maiden and was on the bench for a while. Ran a well-beaten second set to good-looking Chris Hartman runner in Two Eagles River that's going to stretch out and try the Arkansas Derby. That was back on February 19th. Just kind of reading the tea leaves, for Steve Asmussen to send this colt right to this million-dollar race going a mile and 3/16th, it tells me a lot. It tells me that he thinks this is a colt that he wants to give a shot to get into the Derby and he thinks can handle this type of distance. So I'm going to lean on those two as my top. I've got no knocks on Sun Thunder other than I'm a little worried the pace won't be that contentious. And Kings Barnes should get a pretty favorable voyage. Much tougher group than the one that he beat, the ones that he's beaten in Florida, including that allowance win against Tampa. But he should get a pretty good trip, as well as Jace's Road to the far outside, who I think will be sent aggressively in and could hang around for a piece if they go pretty slow up front.
That just shows how fun and contentious this race is, because you used a couple that I didn't use, but I have notes next to Cagliostro. Certainly will be a happy winner's circle if it gets it done, owned in part by David Ngordo, the bloodstock agent, Cherie DeVoe's husband as well. I had, as I say, some notes next to that one, as well as Disarm, Winchell, Gunrunner, Colt from Steve Asmussen, and wouldn't be any surprise there. And I thought Jace's Road was a little bit interesting too, going back to that Gunrunner win towards the end of December. Boy, it is a fun edition of the Louisiana Derby. It'll go off our time. Your time about 5:42, our time about 6:42. Looking forward to it. All right, I'm also looking forward to not as big a field, not maybe as contentious as in as far as the odds will shake out, but we talked about on the handicapping show earlier, the Fairground Oaks. I'm just going to be intrigued to see, A, where the betting public winds up, and B, how Hoosier Philly does this afternoon. Because we talked about it earlier, got a lot of hype, Hoosier Philly did, off a two-year-old season that was fabulous, visually impressive, but the numbers weren't spectacular. But a lot of it was Tommy Amos was just so high on Hoosier Filly. But then she comes back and runs third, and we're going to take a look at the stretch run here to the Rachel Alexandra. Pretty Mischievous, the number five, wins. Miracle, the number six, runs second. And Hoosier Filly, at 2-5, runs third. She's the number two horse here as they come down the stretch. I'm interested to see where the betting public goes with Hoosier Filly and what she can do in her second start. All of that said, I'm going to take a pop with the Allie's Look, who won the earlier three-year-old Filly stake on the trail, the Silver Bullet Day down there for Brad Cox. I'm going Allie's Look over Pretty Mischievous and Hoosier Filly in the third spot. But as I say, I'm interested to see how it shakes out and what the odds are as they go into the gate. What are your thoughts on the Fairground Oaks?
Yeah, I think in the end, Seth, I think Hoosier Filly might go off favorite again.
I'm interested.
Wager that she would. Just a horse that the public likes. And, I think you can definitely make excuses for her in that Rachel Alexandra when she kind of stumbled out of the gate, was in tight, it was a slow pace, she was off it. My problem is when she did get in the clear, she really, as you showed on the replay, had just nothing. I mean, she got absolutely handled by Pretty Mischievous and Miracle, a New York bred shipping in for Todd Fletcher. My concern is she's going to take too much money, and even with an excuse, I think she's going to be an underlay. You mentioned the Allie's Look. I think this is a very solid daughter of Connect. Whether she's as good as the top tier remains to be seen, but she did beat her stablemate in that Silver Bullet that you spoke of in Chop Chop, who did come back to disappoint, but was a very good two-year-old for the Cox barn. I think she's going to run her race. Pretty Mischievous is the clear one to beat in here. You know, she hasn't quite gotten the same respect as maybe she would have, or at least as Hoosier Filly, because Hoosier Filly handled her so easily in the Goldenrod. She's done very little wrong since, rattling off two wins, including that Rachel Alexandra win. She's kind of tactical, can work out her own trip. I think she's the one to beat, a horse I definitely wouldn't leave off. But I'm going to take a little bit of a shot with South Lawn, a horse that's made a big return back off February 17th. That was the day before the Risen Star and the Rachel Alexandra. Pretty solid allowance group that day that she absolutely crushed. And I think there's a good reason for that move, big move forward. She had a myectomy before her last race, so breathing issues. I think that was probably the reason why. So if you're looking and maybe expecting regression, well, maybe she's just a different horse right now. So I'm going to go with South Lawn on top at a good price. I don't know if we'll get 8-1, and I'm going to use Pretty Mischievous as well. I'm going to take a stand against Hoosier Filly, although I wouldn't be surprised if she rebounds in a big way.
South Lawn, interesting. Going out for Norm Cassie. Bat Masterson, of course, tied in with Mark Cassie, Norm's dad, but now some horses, obviously, with Norm. And Ray Lou Gutierrez on board. Ray Lou, an upstate New York guy, so I've been rooting through for him throughout the career. But he is having a very good meet.
He sure is. He's riding a lot for Brett Calhoun, riding for a lot of other barns. His biggest asset or skill is his aggressiveness. He likes to get horses into a race and make them tough to catch in the lane. And he did that with South Lawn on the backstretch in the allowance race I spoke of. And I think she'll either be on the lead or maybe more likely sitting just off of Christian D'Ora, the Steve Asmussen long shot to her outside.
All right, let's go one race earlier, the Munez Memorial. They're on the grass at about a mile and an eighth. $300,000 up for grabs in the grade two. I'm going to, you know, when we talk in a moment about the New Orleans Classic, I'm rolling the dice a little bit in there, but I'm a little more master of the obvious in here. I pulled up the Pegasus World Cup Turf as the replay. The winner will be number three, Atone. I just thought off of that in the prior race, this horse just seems to be in good form right now for Mike Maker. Luis Saez comes in and gets the ride here. I'm going to tilt in that direction. Two Emmys off the win in the fairgrounds back in the middle of February. Spooky Channel, I think, is in good form right now as well. Gentle Soul is interesting for Brett Calhoun. As I said, I'm a little bit master of the obvious in here. What are your thoughts on the Munez?
Yeah, I agree pretty much for the most part, Seth. I think we'll see one of the logical runners hit the wire first in here. Hard to knock a tone. Great ride from Irad Ortiz Jr. Nothing new there at Gulfstream over their turf course in the Pegasus World Cup. Now Luis Saez takes the call. Irad at Turfway Park riding on the Jeff Ruby card. Would expect this one to be aggressively ridden more with Louis aboard instead of Irad. So I would expect him to be in the race. Along with, of course, two Emmys who walked on the lead in the fairgrounds on February 18th and easily disposed of that field. He's 4-11 over the course. Hard to knock. I don't think he'll have things quite as easy on the front end. in this spot with a tone and with Spooky Channel, maybe with Joel aboard, likely to take a hold, but probably will be in a good stalking position, cutting back in distance, freshened up after the third place finish over the soft going in the mile and a half. Connolly, the grade three at Sam Houston. I landed on Spooky Channel in the end, but I'm like you, I could see any of the top four on the morning line, including General Soul winning, who raced in the fairgrounds race where I mentioned two Emmys was walking on the lead. This is a closer that was too far out, but did come on to finish second. And if you're looking for a long shot, maybe to include in the exotics, number two, Rising Empire, does take a big rise in class, pun intended. But he's been a different horse since moving over to the sod and adding the blinkers for trainer Brendan Walsh. The numbers have gone up. I like to see that, and just a horse that kind of thrives when making that surface switch. I don't know if he's good enough. This is a big step up, but at 20-1, I think he's worth including.
Yeah, as you're talking, I'm looking. You're right. When you draw a line and just look at the turf races, he's clearly improved and improving perhaps as well. Last time 6-5 as a winner, and today 20-1 on the morning line. I may have to throw a little Rising Empire into the mix a little bit later this afternoon. But again, I have a little roll of the dice. I'm gonna we will see how this works out for me in the New Orleans Classic. Again, that'll be the ninth race today. It'll go off our time a little after 5 o'clock. Talked about this on the handicapping show earlier. I could easily just be totally out of whack here because I'm leaving Art Collector out. And not for any particular reason other than I like the ones I'm using just a little bit more and find a little bit more interesting. But I'm going to put in the New Orleans Classic, I'm going to put Rattle and Roll on top. And I said on the handicapping show earlier, last week at Oaklawn, I like Classic Causeway for Kenny McPeak and was ran second in that race after setting the early pace. And I thought he might get out there and lead him all the way around. And he tried. He just couldn't hold off the really nice right now runner from Wayne Lucas, Last Samurai. But I like that the horse came in working well, ran well last week. And Rattle and Roll is working well coming into this. And I went back to pulled up the replay from the Remington Park, the Oklahoma Derby, last September. Fires a triple-digit buyer. This is the four-year-old debut now. Sometimes a little time off and then come back. They could be improved as a four-year-old, the good workouts. I'm going to roll the dice a little bit with Rattle and Roll. Pioneer of Medina off the win in the Mineshaft. Intriguing. Westwell Power, my wireless. And as they say, I may just be crazy and I have Art Collector out. As they say, I have no arguments against. I just thought the others were a little more intriguing. What do you see in the New Orleans Classic?
Well, I see a horse in Art Collector that certainly, if you don't think there's major separation between him and the rest of the field, it's worth taking a chance against. He's 8-5 on the line. I would suspect off that dominant effort in the Pegasus World Cup at nearly 16-1 that he's going to go off close to odds on in this field. And I'm kind of with you, Seth. I don't have as strong of an opinion against him, but that race kind of came out of nowhere. Sometimes races at Gulfstream when they what stays at Gulfstream or what happens at Gulfstream stays at Gulfstream sometimes. That track can be a little bit different. If he runs back to that effort, they're going to beat him. I mean, he's going to beat them, but I think that's a big if in this spot. I landed on West Willpower, Seth. I'm a little bit worried about the fact that he's going to have to relax off the very quick Treasury early. His best races, for the most part, have been on the front end, but this is his second start off the bench. I thought he ran really well in the comeback race in the Razorback at Oaklawn when he was involved early. Didn't get out of the gates that well. Moved up under Joel Rosario and just tired in the end to the horse you mentioned in Last Samurai, who came back to win again. I'm going to make him my top selection. And I'll speak a little on Rattle and Roll. I think it's an intriguing long shot. I'm with you on that. I don't like him quite as much, but it's a very talented horse. The mile and eighth won't be an issue at all. And there's a chance there's a pretty honest pacing here with Treasury and West Willpower and Pioneer of Medina. And if there is, there's no reason this horse can't be rolling late. Will he be good enough? This is kind of a stiff test, just his second start against older horses, the first one being the Marathon on the Breeders' Cup undercard. But I totally get where you're coming from in here, and I wouldn't be shocked if he runs a really big race.
Yeah, I thought he might be fun in the four-year-old debut. We will see how that works out, though. As they say, I am really rolling the dice there, not just with the top pick, but leaving Art Collector out. And you mentioned it earlier. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I know you're a Churchill guy. You have any thoughts on the Jeff Ruby Stake? I love the name. Major
no,
Dude.
Yeah, I do.
Major Dude comes in off the win in the Turf Stake. at Gulfstream, and turf runners at Gulfstream often do well on that synthetic up there at Turfway. That's the horse I ride will be on. And Two Fills is coming in off the second in the Lecompton, the third in the Risen Star. So, yeah, you have a thought on the Jeff Ruby Stakes?
Yeah, I mean, I think this came up real strong. This race continues to get better and better. Of course, Rich Strike was in this race last year and went on to win the Derby at a huge odds. Major Dude makes a ton of sense, but you've got the question coming in over, after those really good races at Gulfstream over the sod, you know, how he's going to take to that all-weather surface. Should get a good ground-saving trip under Irad Ortiz. Definitely one of the major players in here, as is Two Fills, but another horse that has not tried the all-weather surface. The pedigree for this Larry Rovelli trainee suggests it shouldn't be an issue, but that's the question with this one that's run two really good races here at Fairgrounds in the Lecompte and the Risen Star. The Lecompte running second to Instant Coffee, making that first move, and Instant Coffee coming over the top. And then the Risen Star, that was a good third set. They went at it on the front end. Most of the horses that were anywhere near the lead on the backstretch were not in the picture in the end. And this is a horse that held on to finish third. So he makes a ton of sense, and I think there's two local runners, horses that have been stable there and run over the course that have a chance as well. And number four, Fantastic, again, who has been dominant in two races there. Been loose on the lead in those races, one under wraps. I doubt he's going to be loose in here, but he looks like a very good colt for Wesley Ward. And then I ended up landing on Wadsworth, who's 8-1. He's been perfect 2-for-2 in Florence as well this winter. Was gelded before the first race on New Year's Eve and really ran off the screen that day and then showed a new dimension beating Allowance Foes back on February 11th. But I think this is a really good race. I think there are four legitimate courses in this spot that deserve to be in the Kentucky Derby starting gate, with the obvious surface question coming on the first Saturday of May they run here. But should be a fun day and a fun card in Florence as well.
Yeah, again, a big day all over around the world today. And thanks for the bonus coverage. I didn't even think of that. But as you mentioned it earlier, I thought, well, you're a Churchill guy. You probably have some ideas. And that gave us an opportunity to look at that Jeff Ruby Stakes. Big day, obviously, down at the Fairgrounds Zone. We'll be checking you and Joe, John, and Kevin out during the day. Scott, always appreciate the visit. Wish you and the whole team a lot of good luck and a lot of fun today down at the Fairgrounds. And we will be checking in down the road at Churchill as well.
Sounds good, Seth. Always fun to join you and let the guys know you're asking for them. And have a great day yourself. Good luck beating our collector.
Appreciate it. Scott Shapiro, again, he'll be part of the team down at the Fairgrounds today. Closing weekend down at the Fairgrounds, and a really big day today. It's a fun card down there today, no question about it. And again, don't forget that Jeff Ruby Stakes at Turfway. There's a nice full field in there as well, field of 12, and that's fun also. We are moving closer and closer, Dubai, race number 7, the Dubai Turf. I'm just checking my screen here. A little under 20 minutes away from that Dubai Turf. And let me grab my odds and see who the favorite. Oh, well, Dick Like, Dan and Beluga, 15-1 on the morning line. That one is currently the 3-1 choice. And again, Japanese horse, and as Dick mentioned, with the World Pools coming out of Hong Kong, the Asian runners and the Japanese runners certainly taking some attention. Order of Australia, who we have seen over here, that one is at 8-1. Cheryl Spite, as they say, intriguing that Roger Atfield is turned this one into a world traveler coming out of a race in Japan back in the middle of February. Now heads over to Dubai. Cheryl Spite, the number 14, at a generous 36-1. Well, no surprise, really. Just checking some of the other logicals or potential logicals in here. And for me, the 9, what are we getting on? Okay, Nation's probably 5-1. 7-1 on the morning line. I thought that was generous. This horse, we're familiar because raced right up here at Saratoga and just missed behind the aforementioned Classic Causeway in the Belmont Derby, then came up to Saratoga and won the Saratoga Derby, and then back down to New York, Belmont, the Aqueduct Meet, won the Jockey Club Derby Invitational. So a couple of nice wins right here last year in front of the American audience, and then 5th in the Breeders' Cup Turf, and then the seasonal debut was a stake in Dubai and a nice win. So Nation's Pride, the number 9 horse, At 5-1, I think that's fair for Nation's Pride. We'll see how that one, you know, works out in the Dubai World Cup. I'll just reiterate Dick's thoughts. We had Dick Powell on earlier, taking a look at the Dubai action, and in this upcoming Dubai turf, he had a 2-9-16. And the 16, you get 26-1, the 9 Nations Pride 5-1, and then the 3-1 favorite. So that's a maybe one to play around with there with that 16 at a decent price. In the Shima Classic, Dick liked the 7 and the 10. 7, likely a shorter price. Nice runner from Japan. And again, the Japan horses are automatically taking a little bit of money. That race also features Rebel Romance. Again, we're looking now at the 8th, one race away. Rebel's Romance, the winner of the Breeders' Cup Turf, is going to be the number 3 for Charlie Appleby in there. And then the Dubai World Cup itself, Dick said he was going to box up 1, 3, 4, and 6 in here. And of course, there is the American entrant, Country Grammar, who is the 4, the defending champion, who last year coming into this race had run 2nd in Saudi Arabia, same scenario this year. And the horse that beat him is back in here too, Panthalassa. So they ran a close 1-2 in Saudi Arabia. They're back this afternoon. But again, Dick said he was going to box up 1, 3, 4, and 6 in the Dubai World Cup. So we'll see how that all shakes out as the afternoon progresses. Otherwise, I'm looking at the clock and time to wind things up. Wind things up for the morning, but it is going to be a big fun afternoon as we'll be back a little bit later with OTB Live. Looking forward to that because, oof, there is a lot of great action. And again, today at Aqueduct, if you're looking, if you're looking and you did it, I did the same thing. Looked and said, it's Saturday with no stake in New York. But we, as we mentioned on the handicapping report earlier, it's the claiming championship day. And so there are a number of starter allowances that actually have names. They just didn't make it into the racing form. And they aren't, you know, quote unquote stakes races. But it's a special day, $380,000 in purses aimed at the claimers, you know, the lunch pail participants in the game. The claimers make the day go by for most venues. And so the claiming championship day in its 8th year, and a good day to celebrate. Not just the lunch pail horses, but for the most part, some of the lunch pail trainers as well. I mean, some trainers concentrate far more on that claiming side of things. And, you know, that's where they're bread is buttered, and they get a little chance at a little more butter this afternoon. So it's a fun day in New York, really fun day at the Fairgrounds Turfway with the big card highlighted by the Jeff Ruby Stakes Stake. And if you're not familiar with that name, Jeff Ruby Stakes, S-T-E-A-K-S, as in the kind of steak you eat, but it's the Jeff Ruby Stakes Stake. Grade 3 event, $700,000 up for grabs. That's going to go off our time at about 6:30 today. And again, just to update you, Fairgrounds, their Louisiana Derby is going to go off at about 6:42. So you'll be able to watch the Jeff Ruby, and then shortly thereafter, the Louisiana Derby. Their card, 15 races today. And the last at Fairgrounds is going to go off at 7:05. The first at Fairgrounds, our time will go off at 1 o'clock. The 15th locally is going to go off 7:05. Our time is going to go off 8:05, the last race at Fairgrounds. And certainly, partly because of that, we're also offering the Thoroughbreds tonight here on Capital OTB TV and via CapitalOTBBet.com. So you can enjoy Thoroughbred action tonight as well. All right. I'm going to wrap it up. We'll send it over, and they'll kind of pick things up with Dubai action leading into this Race 7, the Dubai Turf. Then sooner rather than later, the pregame down at Gulfstream and the pregame at Naira, and then we'll kick into OTB Live a little bit later on for what looks to be a fun afternoon. Nick Luck in Dubai, so I'll step back, and we'll send it down and see what he has to say. Racing Across America for a Saturday. Thanks to Dick Paul. Thanks to Scott Shapiro. Thanks to you for tuning in. Again, back in about an hour and a half or so, OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon. We'll see you then. We'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB throughout the championship meet. The Gulfstream Park Championship meet runs now through the early April Florida Derby weekend, featuring high-quality racing throughout. Once again, we'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.